Right, Gerard's not going to be able to make it today. He had a few teeth pulled, and I guess he's on a few pills. Anyway, let's try to pick up wherever we had last week. I'm not sure exactly if there was a particular conversation going on. Of course, we want to focus in on getting active locally in our local communities with the committees of safety and working with the grand jury processes and eventually the committee men themselves. Anybody have anything?
Hey, John.
Yeah.
This is David from Missouri. I had a kind of a question about committees of safety in general. You probably won't spend a lot of time on it, but the jural societies that, you know, I've been hearing various people talk about, how does that concept or operation work different than how we've gone, like with the county administrator system and the whole setup at Inova, as far as the committees of safety goes?
Okay,
I mean, and that's with the grand jury aspect of it, I understand. So they're not necessarily doing the committee of safety implementation along with it. But how does that work? Or have you heard of those?
Well, I'm not too sure exactly what you're talking about. I know what we're doing, as far as building administrations for the grand jury and the trial juries. Right now, the control of that is, I'm sure you probably know, it's controlled by the court system itself. So the judge or the prosecutor, which are both working for the state, have total control over those processes. And so therefore, of course, that's a major problem because they control the judge, the state controls the judge. They control, of course, the law enforcement. They control the marshal. They control the prosecutor, and they also control the jury. So, I mean, who can win in a court like that? You know, so of course that's what we're really doing on that end. On the other end, you know, look at, we've got thousands of people involved with us, and everybody needs to get involved. Not everybody wants to become an administrator. We need 4 administrators for each county, but not everybody wants to be an administrator. Some people would be interested in looking for a career change or just finding a career, and of course those opportunities are open. But even people administrators, you know, becoming administrators, they need to be as involved in the committees of safety as anybody else does, just like the sheriff needs to be involved. That's our first order of business, is to really gain access to the sheriff and get him involved, to really support him and build him up and show him exactly what it is that we're doing. If he or she were to pay attention, they would find that what we are doing is of a great interest to them. It empowers them. It brings them to where they really need to be under the common law, which is what our nation is set up on. And if they come to an understanding of that, and that we are the people supporting that, trying to build a coalition of more people, not only just regular people, but also people who are people who are working for the government, whether they're elected or just working for the government. Anybody can join the Committee of Safety. The whole part of it is the people on the grassroots level working with local government and assisting them in any way they can to empower them and to bring them under the law, to teach them the law, to bring them under the law, in order that we can get law back into, you know, on the grassroots level and right up through the judicial process and so on, right into our elected officials in Washington. So now I presume you're talking about some other thing, that how things, the system is working now, or is that what you were talking about?
Well, yeah, if you were to Google Jural Society, I think some of the people, there's actually state-run Jural Societies, and they're saying it's based on the law of the land, the natural law and everything as well.
Yeah.
And I guess this was something that's even defined in Black's Dictionary as well and everything, but it kind of seemed to me like it's not an alternative per se of what we're doing here, but another venue
to
kind of go there.
It obviously isn't working. I mean, I haven't been in a court yet that brings justice forth. We're interested in courts of justice, not courts of law. Justice is the important part. Now, of course, if you bring in justice, then you go into true law. You go into common law. That's law of the land. That, of course, is the law we're interested in. We're not interested in statutory law. And therein is the difference. All of those processes, I mean, they've all been destroyed by the You know, the Bar Association, they've destroyed our judicial system completely. They've destroyed our thinking completely as a people, as Americans. They've destroyed us. They've robbed us of our right to liberty, our right to the knowledge of our founding fathers, to the knowledge of common law, to the right to have common law as the process in the judicial system. They've robbed us of all that. And I'm not aware of any institution out there that's existing doing the right thing and understands what needs to be done. They're not talking about the common law. They're not talking about the founding fathers. They're not talking about the Constitution. They're talking about rules and regulations. They're talking about codes and statutes. That's what they're talking about. And they genuflect to the powers that be, which are our servants. Look at these people should be genuflecting to us, so to speak. They're not our masters. We are their master. But the whole process has been turned around and to focus in on obedience to them when it should be the other way around. They should be obedient to us. This is how we the people, have not picked up the torch. We have not done the job that we need to be doing. We have not taken control of the processes. We are not giving consent to our government. The only consent we're giving to our government is the consent to allow them to continue in a lawless society and continue the destruction of America. That's the only consent we've been giving them, just by the fact that we're not doing anything, or the fact that we've been kind of put to sleep, lulled to sleep. We got to wake up. There is nothing out there that is being executed in the system that I have found that is really looking and dealing with the truth, which is common law. So, yeah, I'd like to look at anything that they have out there. I've looked at, I've been in courts, whether state courts, county courts, town courts, village courts, city courts, federal courts. I haven't seen the common law in any of them. So where are these juror societies or whatever they're called? Where are they? I don't know where they're at.
I think they're mainly online as far as trying to get support garnered, and I don't think they've come anywhere near as being as established as what we're trying to do here at NLA. So it's just something I'd wondered if you'd heard about. And like I said, I didn't think there would probably be too much room for a lot of comment on it, other than I see it quite a bit online and in certain quote-unquote patriot forums and stuff, but I don't hear that they're actually doing anything, and accomplishing much of anything, so...
Right. Well, anything that is for the good gets infiltrated and destroyed from within. They may look like they're doing good things, but they're being really torn apart from within. Anybody that's in those groups, they should look to see what we're doing and consider joining up with us. We certainly would not join up with any group because we don't want to lose that control. If anything, we have not been infiltrated. If anything, we are focused. And if anything, ultimately, we rely on the blessings of liberty. And it's exactly what our founding fathers really taught themselves and the people, is that we have liberty only by a blessing. Period. We have to really realize that that's in the Constitution. It's in the preamble, the blessings of liberty. That means God has to bless us. And how do you get God's blessing? You obey his law and you lift him up. That's how you get his blessings. And that's what we're trying to do. And we should be doing that in his statutes also. That's your personal walk with God is obeying the statutes. But all men must obey God's laws, period. There's no... No question about that. But not everyone will obey his statutes, and that's okay. We can't force people to obey his statutes, And God doesn't do that either, per se, under the law. He doesn't require the law to require people to go to church or to acknowledge the Sabbath or to do certain things that are statutes. But anyway, that is a key part of what we're doing. We're not going to accomplish this goal without... some extraordinary force from outside of this world, because these evil people control everything. And after all, anybody who's reading their Bible knows that Satan controls this world. He's the prince and power of the air. And a place of air is the place of conversation. He controls the conversations of the world. And he's the prince and power there. And until God takes him down, he's going to continue to be that prince and power. And for us, from my perspective or perception, you know, it's a punishment for us. It's a curse on us because we're not doing the right thing. As soon as we wake up, we need to realize we need to do the right thing. And that's a simple thing, because the right thing is just to do the right thing. There's nothing, you know, there's no big, wonder about that. There's no big mystery.
Couldn't agree more. I appreciate your thoughts.
Okay. Hey, anybody else have anything they want to share with us, or a question or a comment or anything concerning where we're going, what we're doing, how we can push forward? Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you, you had mentioned, I think, very briefly, unless I was mistaken in what you said, but that you're going to rework the jurist handbook, or that you're going to, instead of that, you're going to do a point-by-point simplification or more detailed work of the court access course, so that when we become grand jury administrators, we'll have a handbook, not just for what we need to do as far as our 8 hours with the jury, but in addition to that, having a step-by-step exact, as exact as you can get, a basic boilerplate of, say, an affidavit and then an action and then a writ of error and what processes and procedures you should follow, whether you're, I guess, at a state level or a federal level. Are you doing something like that, or did I hear that wrong?
No, that's exactly right. We are working on a book, a handbook for administrators. It's an administrator's handbook, and it's for the sole purpose, for exactly as you were expressing, in order to assist people in the process of their everyday work, what they need to be doing. It'll deal also with investigations and writing papers, and we got to keep it simple. These things really are not difficult. They're difficult to us because we don't know what we're doing. We don't know. We're not familiar with these things. You know, it's like anything else. Once you start to get familiar with things, it becomes old hat. It is just simple. It's pretty easy. You know, it's like picking up a second language or a first language. You know, it's really very simple. It just comes natural. You just keep going to the book until you don't have to go to the book that often anymore. We'll always always maintain an NLA for the sole purpose of educating and being there for advice to people. If we don't have the answers, we'll find the answers. We did already write a book, a jurist handbook, which will work on all levels, whether it's state or federal. It's totally irrelevant. It's the same thing. If you go up to where our court case is on the NLA and you go to jury, highlight jury, and you click on docket, you'll find the case we made against the existing jurist handbook. As a matter of fact, we have the jurist handbook up there. I believe it's under evidence. You'll find the federal grand jury handbook, and you'll also find the trial jury handbook. And we've already made a case there on jury tampering. It's docket number on papers filed 1011, memorandum on juries tampering and stacking. And we use these particular handbooks to show how they are controlling the people, controlling the outcome, controlling the courts. And we've also, of course, written our own book, which is up here, which is our jurist common law handbook, which is for all jurors, whether they're grand jurors, trial jurors. It's irrelevant whether they're the sheriff or whether they're the prosecutor or the judge or just the person. Again, court's not meant to be difficult and complex. This is what the Bar Association has done. You know, they look for loopholes. They look for, you can't do this because you didn't cross your T's here and you didn't dot your I's properly there. That's all BS. It's irrelevant. That's not what a court of law is about. That's not what a court of justice is about. A court of justice is finding the solution to a problem. And nothing gets in the way. And the only thing necessary for a prima facie case, once we get onto the other side, the only thing necessary is an affidavit. Tell your story. It's that simple. Because it's all about the facts. That's all it is. You know, the law in itself is written in the hearts of men. God has already told us that, and everybody knows what's right or wrong. They know when someone's been injured and when someone wronged someone. We don't have to go to get educated to discover that. That's something that's human in us. That's something that's in society. We are social beings, and we see when people hurt another person. And we have the ability to get together, especially when you put 12 minds together in a room and you come to an agreement that someone has been injured, there's no doubt about that, and this is the person that injured them, there's no doubt about that. Well, then what are we going to do to fix that injured person? Okay, that's the question that needs to be answered. And 12 minds coming together certainly will be able to solve that problem. That's what a court of justice is. Forget anything else. Everything else is irrelevant. Yeah, there's process. Yeah, there's procedure. That's all simple stuff, though, basically, anyway. You know, it's like anything else. You just get to learn the rules. You know, you play baseball, you get to learn the rules. You play basketball, you get to learn the rules. You know, you do anything in life, you get to learn the rules. You know, it's on-the-job training, and you'll figure it out, and it's all logic, and you'll move on from there. You know, we do have to get a little bit skilled in writing, maybe, and generally speaking, you know, you bring four people together, hopefully one of them will have a little bit of writing skills, and you'll work off of that person's skill and build off of that. You'll learn from examples, basically. It's really simple. And we have to be careful on how we deal with the grand jury. You know, these are basic information that we just have to think about and know about. For instance, when the grand jury comes in with a decision and they want to write, you know, now we got to write it up. We have to be careful that we don't push or get our thinking and thoughts into that decision. It's got to be theirs. But we do have to assist them in putting it together. And we have to have a structure or a form to get that out. It's nothing difficult, nothing difficult. And then you have to have two signatures on that. You have to have an administrative signature on that. Certainly the administrative signature is the witness to the fact that the grand jury foreman signed it. And if there's no grand jury foreman signed it, then fraud's going on. Why do we see so many papers where people are indicted? Let's take the Robinson case out there in Montana. He's been indicted. And he's been indicted more than once, I believe. Well, no, I think he's just been indicted once. They did a trial jury. It was a hung jury, and so then they tried him again. That's double jeopardy. But in any event, the grand jury that came in to make the decision on that case, the foreman didn't sign the paper. What the hell is that? Why didn't the foreman sign that paper? Something tells me there is no foreman. Something tells me they didn't take it before any group of people. And they had two signatures on the other side, which, you know, court officers or something. I forget who it was, prosecutor, the U.S. attorney or someone. I really couldn't care less about those. That's only the witnessing. That's not the signature of the indictment. That requires a foreman. It didn't happen there. And this happens all the time. I've seen this numerous times. And we can't permit this. But this is the problem we're facing. Today we have to be we got to be very sly or careful. Because on this side of the court system, and when I say this side, well, it's run by them. We get to the other side, it's run by us. But until we get to the other side, it's run by them. And now we have to play their stupid games. We have to be careful. We have to understand jurisdiction. We have to understand, you know, what it takes to get it, move cases into a federal court system. And you can have everything in the world right to move it into a federal court system, but if you don't express it right on paper, they're going to reject it. And they'll try to reject it anyway, you know, but you got to then punch back. And if you don't punch back, you're going to be thrown out. Because they don't want to hear cases. They just don't want to hear it. They only want to hear the cases that they have to hear. And a lot of these cases, like the Bundy case and the Oregon case and the Montana case and many, many other cases, they're all the same thing. It's the government trying to just shut people up, shut them down. They are warring against the people. They are warring against the Constitution. And those are the charges we're bringing against them up here in Albany, New York. They're warring against the people in the Constitution. And they're conspiring. It's a very simple thing to see it's a conspiracy, because when everyone around is doing the very same thing and they have the same answers and the same response, I mean, tell me that's not a conspiracy. Tell me you can't see that that's a conspiracy. It proves itself. And they should be worrying now. I think they are. I think they've been worrying for a while, but not all of them. Some of them are too dumb to worry yet, or they're just so lost in their own little worlds of living it up because they prosper from all this stuff. So they get away with it. But look, at the day of reckoning is coming. And I think by the time we hit into the mid-January, I think they're going to know that something is happening that, that they're not going to be happy about. And depending on what this administration does, okay, if this administration gets behind what we're trying to do, and they should, they know exactly what we're doing now. We've given them everything on what we've accomplished, what our plans was, everything. They got it all. And it's the right thing to do. It's giving the people back, because there's no way a man that becomes president that thinks he's going to fix the problems and go home and doesn't have to worry about it no more. No, you got to fix the problem by giving it back to the control, back to the people. That's how you fix the problems. And that's what he needs to understand. And if we can make him understand that, and if he does understand that, game over.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I really do appreciate that. And I look forward to that handbook. Speaking of the other side, this might be left more for a Monday night call, but it came up a week ago, and I wanted to answer the question, but I wasn't quite comfortable. And then, you know, I've been around about 3 years, a member, and then I've been around a little longer than that, maybe an extra 4 months. But it came up that, you know, the NLA plan is to get to the other side, to get the grand juries, the people's grand juries, reinstated, and to reinstate the common law. But then it was guessed that, well, if the NLA can't get enforcement, then they might have to take a different tack. And then it was also discussed that there might have been a course for the administrator. And what I wanted to answer was to say that no, there was never a course for an administrator. There was a court access course. There's the jurist handbook. But then I also wanted to say, you know, after being here 3+ years, that the NLA will never abandon this goal. Now, there might be other things that come up to either help us, or there might be some things that we don't want to do that we might have to do. But is it true that you'd never abandon this course that we've been on, at least for as long as I've been here, and that is to get to the other side?
It's the only course we could take. It's the course we started out with, and it's the course we're going to finish up with. And when that ends is really up to God. It's not up to us. We don't know. We need to build up momentum, enough people behind us to get that critical mass movement going. We certainly are. I think we're very, very close to that. We do have name recognition, and we've got a pretty large membership, and we've got a lot of people that come in and out of our program, you know, whether they come in and out on a Monday program or Monday night program, or they come onto our website off and on. We got a lot of people that just come in and out. There's only one way to take it back. It's the power of the pen. It's the power of the word. It's the power of justice. And if God be for us, who could be against us? That's my, you know, that's what the Bible tells us anyway. If God be for us, who could be against us? God is not on our side. We're on his side. All we're doing is being obedient to him, to obey the law. We all need to be doing this in our own lives, too, because, you know, otherwise we're hypocrites. You know, we can't expect our government to be lawful, and we're not going to be lawful. So, of course, we should be. And I think generally we all are lawful. But I think it goes down further than that. We've got to get back to morality. You know, only a moral people can have the government that we have. Only a moral people can have common law. Read what our founding fathers spoke about this. Read what they said about this. You can't have it unless you're morally minded. And we don't have to talk too much about God. The fact that we'll go into common law will lead people to God, because it leads you back to the righteousness, to do the right thing. And if you're lifting up the king of the court, which is, the creator of the universe, if you're lifting up the king of the court and saying we want it to be done right, we want the hearts of men to rule in these cases, because God wrote the laws in our hearts, so let's use our hearts to decide justice. Let's use those things. And that's why we push for people to take an oath, okay, to come in with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy in everything they think, do, and say. That's for the administrators as much as it is for everyone that becomes a jurist, whether they're grand jurist or trial jurist. So they need to really come to that point in life. And as you're thinking and living that point of life in what we're doing, that's got to bleed out into your everyday life and start to think a lot more about morality, a lot more about what you're doing in your own life, period. And that's where we need to be, in those areas. And as long as we're in those areas, we're safe. and the blessings of God will then come. Because the blessings of God only comes to those who are doing His will. And those who are doing His will is those who are doing the right thing. Forget about getting lost into people saying, you know, you're this religion or that religion. That's all irrelevant. God's not interested in religion. He's interested in a relationship with us. I don't care what name you put it. I don't care any of those things. Of course, we do know that the Bible is His Word, and we can learn and grow in morality and spiritual understanding and understanding of end times and a lot of things. As much as we want to spend in that, we can learn those things. But it's everybody's duty to do the right thing. You know, what is the two great laws? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself for the love of God. I mean, it's doing. If you love someone, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to beat them up. You're not going to kill them. You're not going to do terrible things to people. You don't do that if you have compassion and feelings and love for your neighbor. So, basically, it's a very simple thing, and people get lost. All of this assault upon religion or upon bringing God into anything, that's all part of what the enemy has put into our minds to divide us. You see, because you can't have a morally minded, you can't have a natural law, common law, and a government that our founding fathers put together. You can't have that without morality. So they're right, and a relationship with God, however you understand. You know, those are the two things, morality and some kind of relationship with God. You can't have this nation without it. You just can't. You can fool yourself to think, but you can't have it. Go read our founding fathers. They'll make it crystal clear. You can't have it. The Bible will make it crystal clear. You can't have it. If we have unalienable rights, then they've come from God. They're unalienable. That's what the Creator has given us. However you understand the Creator has given that to me. No man can take that from me. If He didn't give it to you, then who gave it to you? You gave it to yourself, or another man can take it away from you, maybe. Or did some other man give it to you, or government give it to you? Well, then they could take it away from you. So, you know, it's really simple. This is not a complex argument, and it's not moot. There's no debate here. People are in denial. That's all it is. They're in denial. It's not moot. Okay. So everything is clear cut. Common law is built upon principle, and honor, justice, and mercy. Ultimately, it's built upon truth. Getting to the truth. And so that's where we got to push this thing. And as long as we're doing that, that's how we can win. We will win that way. It is a no-brainer because light will always overtake darkness. You walk into a room and you turn on a light, who wins? That's giving us an example of what this spiritual war is all about. What we're doing here in this world is all about light and darkness. Turn the light on, darkness flees. Darkness comprehends it not, the Bible says.
Excellent. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else got anything they want to share, or a question or a comment? Mics are open. You may have to star 6 to speak.
Hello, John. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Terry in New Jersey.
How you doing, Terry?
Good. I saw this article. It's called Family Civil Liberties Union Releases List of New York's Most Corrupt Judges. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Okay. I'll email it to you, but it's very interesting. They have like 20 judges on here, and and the stories are.
I wonder if they're the good guys.
They sure don't sound good according to this article.
Huh?
They don't sound very good according to this article.
Yeah, but you know, they say evil about everyone. Look what they said about the Bundys. Look what they say about all of us liberty-minded people. I mean, we're the evil ones.
Well, you know
they change light to darkness, darkness to light. But anyway, right. I really don't know. I'm just saying that. I know.
I understand. You know, I look at it that way too. But you know, this stuff. I mean, the horror stories are just too specific. You know, for this to be
right.
Not what they say it is. But you know, it'd be interesting because look, let's face it. This is family court. Family courts are known to be horror shows. And, you know, I know that, you know, one thing I think would be interesting is if it would be relatively easy to get the docket sheet for these judges and for NLA to possibly contact these people who've been damaged by the judge, and then, you know, try to get them to understand what the grand jury process is and do some optics, put some people out in front of the courthouse, explain to them how the grand jury can help them.
Yeah, right now, if we did that, we'd probably be arrested. I mean, usually that is the case. They don't want you handing out any literature. You can't even hand out a constitution. And we've seen what they've done in some of these cases to people who have tried to do that out in front of the courthouses. And even if you walk down the street and do it, you know, they give you a hard time. They harass you. But, you know, look, I'm sure there probably is a list of bad people here because there are a lot of problems. And at some point, someone's trying to deal with it and getting something out there. And every once in a while, a good thing does happen. But the corruption is so huge. Look, this is going to be a re-education. People not need to be re-educated. It might take years. Well, it will take years for really people to get the proper mindset. It might take a whole generation for the people to get a mindset because we've been so ruined, destroyed, especially the young kids today. I mean, from whatever I can see, I mean, they are totally lost. They're lost inside of fiction. You know, they live their lives in fiction. Everywhere, everything they do, everything they talk about, I listen to them talking, and they're just lost. And they don't socialize, at least not person to person. They get lost inside, the fiction, these electronic stuff, the Internet, and so on. Everybody's walking around, heads down, pushing their buttons and stuff. I refuse to get one of those phones. I mean, could be convenient. I got a laptop. I go out on business, go somewhere, and I got to do some business. I got my laptop. But I don't want to be on my phone all day long, pushing buttons and tweeting people. And people, they can't even get into a good conversation. These kids, they don't. Yeah, they read here or there. They read in tweets. They read online. But how, when's the last time they read a book? You know, and what books are they reading? Who's reading about our founding fathers? Who's teaching about our founding fathers? Where can you find something that's really? National Liberty Alliance is a good source, of course. We put everything out there. But how many sites do you find that really have what we have, the true education, the true the conversations of our founding fathers, you know, and all in one place? You know, you might find a little bit here and a little bit there. It's going to take an education. We need to get to the kids in school. We do have a plan for that once we get into the game here. That's the next task that National Liberty Alliance is going to pick up, is working in the schools. We're going to work with the committee man process, working that process through, and we're going to work into the educational part of the process in the schools. We're going to get make sure that we have the Constitution and civics, quote-unquote, taught in schools. We want children to understand that they have a duty, that they have to bring back to society. Look at, we need people when they need to be out of school well before they're 17. There's no reason to send kids to school as long as they as you do. You know, my son, my youngest son, we sent to a private school, a Christian school, very, very, had a good reputation. And he was there till second grade, and we took him out to and homeschooled him because we had to homeschool our daughter because she was ill. So we figured out we'll homeschool him too. And it was costing us money. It was difficult. But in that 2 years, 3 years that he was in, the kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, okay, he was reading at an eighth grade level. He was able to get up on a stage, give a speech, and sing a song. And every kid was required to do that. Every kid. You see, that's an education. In 8-9 years, you should be able to teach a child everything they need to know to get out into society and live a life. Now, of course, if they want to become a doctor or something of that nature, a scientist, you have to extend at school. But generally speaking, you should be able to give a good education inside 8 or 9 years. Every child, every person, but when they turn 17, needs to give 3 months of summer into the militia, okay? Go to a boot camp, 3 months. Look, this matures people. And so they go to, they should be going into a three-month process, and they're done. That's it. They're out. But now, look, they need to be taught in school that they have to give back. When they're called upon, if you want liberty and you want to be free, then you got to be responsible and you got to do your duty, okay? Which means if you get called for jury duty, you need to go do it. If you're a business guy and you're doing things and you got important stuff going on and you're called for duty and you can't go because you're in the middle of a deal or whatever the case may be, well, maybe 3 months from now is a slower time. And you should be able to say, well, look, I'm too busy right now, but catch me in 3 months because I'm slow then and I can come out for a week or two and do whatever I got to do. And the system should be able to respond to that and put you on that list for that 3 months later so that we can fulfill our duties. And if everybody's participating, believe me, you only have to go do jury duty a few times in your life anyway. It's not like it's a big deal. Everyone should be a committee man at least once in their life. It's only a 2-year process, and it only, what, takes maybe about 20 days of your life out of the whole year. I mean, come on. We can do that. And it's evenings, you know. And as a matter of fact, it's kind of exciting and fun. And it's because you get to meet people, you're getting out there. And you're interviewing the people who are going to be the servants that you're electing. I mean, why wouldn't we want to be involved with that? Okay? If we're not involved in those things, then you're giving it to your government, then you're not involved in anything worthwhile for the future of yourself and your nation. You got to do it. And so, you know, everybody should be a committee man for a short period of time. Now, we only need 4 people in each county as an administrator, which is the investigative body for the grand jury, okay, and also they facilitate the process and administrate the process. And that's it's a regular job, it's a full-time job, and it's a career for anybody who wants it. It's a career, and. And if you file for a job and you can't get a job in your county, you can go to the county next door if there's an opening there. You don't have to live in the county to be administrator. It's a job, but that doesn't mean you don't have to. You can't participate. You should participate with the militia even as an administrator. You should participate as a committee man even as an administrator. You should participate with all these things because we're not getting politically involved here. Our process has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with justice. And that's what the administrators need to be focused in on, justice, what is right and wrong. Education is the key. It's going to take a while, but we don't need everybody educated real quickly. You get a handful of people running the thing. Everything works now anyway, just a handful of people, whether you realize it or not. But you get a handful of people working it. You start picking up and educating people in the schools. You educate people who are off a line right here in National Liberty Alliance. People who are interested, they become educated. And as time goes on, we can turn this whole thing around if that's where the world is destined to go. You know, I don't know what God's plan is for Judgment Day. I mean, that is going to come up eventually. So, but however that works out, I don't know.
Right. Well, I'm getting back to the victims of these judges. I'm not going to coordinate this thing, obviously, but what I'm saying is that, you know, if you get enough people, you know, to peaceably assemble in front of a courthouse and get some mainstream media in there, which I doubt, too, because, by the way, mainstream media means New York Times, which is owned by Carlos Slim of Mexico, and, you know, but I'm just saying that, you know, that it would be helpful to get some good optics here, like somebody arresting somebody for protesting against abusive judges.
Right. Well, we would love to help people more than what we are. I mean, look, we were doing the habeas corpus. We had to stop that because we get overloaded. We were doing with the family court, and we got overloaded. And there's, you know, we need people who want to volunteer and train, and become trained a little bit in it. But they have to have some experience to begin with. They have to have some leadership experience, some management experience, some kind of an experience. And then so that they can pick things up on their own and run with it. And those kind of people are the people we really need. And then everyone else can learn and from underneath them. But... we don't have enough of that. But I'll tell you, look, we're working on the big case. The big, big case we have is subversion against the United States of America from enemies, both foreign and domestic, with inside all 3 branches of our government. And that includes the states as well as the federal. So this is the case we're working on right now. And that's the spearhead of our case. But
okay,
this includes a lot of other cases. And we've got the Robinson case, we've got the Oregon case, we've got the Bundy case, we've got the Hammond case. All those four cases are going to play a major role come this January in our court case, and they'll move a lot faster, those cases, than the other cases, because you see the cases where we're going in again with the three branches, we have to give them 60 days. The others, we can reduce that timing to 20 to 30 days. But, you know, those cases, once we start to make movements there and then we start to do trials with inside this process, within, and they understand what we're doing, it's going to be too late for them to do anything anyway. But right now it's too late for them to do anything. What are they going to do? Say we can't use the justice system? We'll do indictments right inside our court case, and we don't have to have them arrested. We just have to indict them, and we summons them and bring them in. They got to come and answer. And we're going to bring trial juries in, you know, unless they want to make a plea. They're going to do a trial jury, and the trial jury is going to make a decision, and then the court process has got to take effect. I mean, you're in a court of law. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to say it doesn't work here? You know, we're doing it a little differently. You know, we'd love to put the indictments in and let them handle it, but they're not going to handle it, and they haven't. And they're preventing everything possible from happening. And so we're taking a different approach. And I don't know that they can prevent us from going forward, and I don't know that they're going to be able to just ignore us either once we move this direction. Now, we have 30 or so habeas corpuses. Every one of those habeas corpuses are going to be brought into this case. We're going to pull onto the carpet every one of these chief judges and chief clerks who have removed these papers, and we want to know what they're doing. Why did they do that? We're going to do show causes. By what authority do they think they have that they can remove papers from the court when the court when clearly the law makes it clear that the clerk must file. Okay, the only time if there's an error, a problem, if it's not prima facie, but even that, if it's not prima facie, well, what's wrong with it? Oh, well, you had to do this and you didn't put that, and you didn't get that. Oh, okay, thanks, and you go do it and you come back and you give it, and they got to take it. See, they don't even put it back to us because our papers are prima facie. The only thing that we're not giving them is the money, so they may try to make a claim on that. Well, excuse me, Mr. Judge, are you telling me that in order for me and we the people to report the subversion against the United States of America by enemies both foreign and domestic within our own government, that we have to pay you $300-$400 to do your damn job? Is that what you're telling us? You're telling us that, you know, because we didn't cross a T or dot an I, that it's irrelevant? I mean, are you part of this conspiracy? Is that what's going on there, Mr. Judge or Mr. Prosecutor or Mr. Marshall or whoever's out there? You know, they can't respond to this. And they're so dumb. I mean, it's pathetic, and it's so simple to beat these guys often, but when we get lost in things. And if we stay focused and stay simple, we can stay on top of this stuff. How often I heard people being arrested for resisting arrest, okay? I know personally a couple of people who were literally beat up, okay? And the reason why they were so damaged and beat up and had to go to the hospital and get treated and because they resisted arrest. Well, officer, what were you arresting him for? And they don't have an answer. That's how dumb they are. That's how low on the scale that they've been bringing these people in that are supposed to be peace officers. They want people with a low IQ, okay? And they got them. And they're so dumb, they don't even think to the second point. And it happens over and over and over again. Don't they learn from the other guy that did the same thing? You got to have a reason to say that you were trying to arrest them for, so that then you can say they resisted, and then you had to use force. I mean, this is over and over and over and over and over again. It's unbelievable. And that makes it how simple it is to deal with. You could shut them right down in court if you're in front of a real jury, that is, anyway.
I know. A guy got punched right in the face in front of my apartment a couple of years ago. He wanted me to testify for him. I said, look, you know, I'm not going into these, municipal courts. They're all corrupt. And I told him he got to get into a federal court. And then he tells me to call his lawyer. I'm like, I'm not calling your lawyer. You have your lawyer call me. And so he just ignored me. So I didn't testify for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, again, you know, the system's so screwed up. And we have to have a whole new mindset. And it's a simple mindset, really is simple. I mean, this is not complex stuff. We may think it is because they make it look that way, but it's not. It's not. You know, read their rules. The rules are pretty simple and logical to some degree. I mean, there's a lot of BS in there also, which we could ignore. And I see the fraud in the federal level, big-time fraud, woven through the whole system. And they do everything in secret. And I see how they do it now. And it's pretty amazing. And, you know, I've talked to lawyers, and they don't understand this stuff. And you know, it gets right down to the basics. It gets down to some of the stuff they do, which called in REM, particularly when they come to take property away from you or take your money or something. The IRS uses it in REM. They use it for tax foreclosure. Even the mortgage companies are using in REM processes. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And I haven't met a lawyer yet that knows what in REM even means. They can't even explain it. They can't articulate it. And, you know, when I first heard about it and started to realize what they were doing and I tried to understand in REM, it was kind of complex to figure out. And you had to really do a lot of looking up in dictionaries or different things, you know, the law dictionaries, until you really come to a realization what's going on here with this in REM process. But once you understand that, okay, now you know the game. Now you know the fraud. And you can work around it. And you can tie a judge up and put him in knots and, give him ulcers.
Yeah, that sounds good. I left out the most important point in that story. The guy was handcuffed, and the cop gives him a right cross to the face. So, you know, and this is a suburban town, and who's going to want to testify against this cop? You know.
Well, exactly. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, because he's going to come out and get you. He's going to see you one day.
That's right.
These cops are in bad shape. And this has been for a long time. I kind of knew it and didn't know it even when I was younger. When I was very young, I was about 17 years old. 16, and I was walking down the street, and this car coming down the street in New York City, and they skid mark right into the curb, right where I'm at as I'm walking, and the doors fly open, and the guy grabs me and throws me into an alley, and he reaches into my pocket and pulls out dope. Now I didn't get high back then. I had no dope or anything, or nothing like that, and he pulls his dope out of my pocket and he says, "What's this?" And I knew this guy. This guy went to school with my brother. And I said to him, "I don't know, Paul. Can you tell me?" He says, "How'd you know my name?" I says, I don't want to give his last name. But I told him his name, his full name. I said, "Well, you went to school with my brother," and so on and so forth. And so he says, "Oh, okay, get out of here." And I left. About 5 or 6 years later, okay, I went into the service, came out of the service. I was in my early 20s. I'm walking down the street. Same thing happens. And as the guy's walking towards me and pushing me onto the up against the building in this case, and I said to Paul, "What are you doing?" Same guy, okay? I was lucky that this happened by the same cop, same guy, and I knew him. And he says, "Oh, get out of here." So that tells me how bad it is when a cop has to come in New York City. I mean, it's easy to make arrests in New York City. There's a lot of crime down there. Why do they have to plant the kid, you know, or a young guy with drugs? But that tells us how corrupt the system is and was. And they got partners, you know. I'm sure everybody heard about Serpico down there in the 70s and all this other stuff, you know. And corruption will be there. All we have to do, we can get rid of all the corruption in the police departments, in all of the law enforcement. We can get rid of corruption, all the corruption in Congress, and any other elected officials. We can get rid of all that corruption by doing simply one thing only: bring in courts of justice. That's simple. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. Yeah, you'll always have a guy who will try to break the law and try to get away with it, and some of them might, but you're not going to have the corruption you got going out if you got a court of justice, because these cops are not going to go around beating people up, because we, the people, are not going to tolerate it. And these, judges are not going to be abusing the people, because we, the people, aren't going to tolerate it. And we're not. And these guys in Congress aren't going to continue to take their money and do the bidding of special interest groups and so on, and you know, fatten up their pockets, because we, the people, aren't going to tolerate it. You see, if we got courts of justice, you will have a government of justice. And that's the difference. That's the government that our founding fathers set up, but we've come so far away from it. And it all starts with authority. We have no clue. We, the people, have no clue on how far these people have overextended their authorities. I mean, those who have become educated, you know, I know now, and everybody needs to know this. If you understood, you know, what the authority of these people are, how far they can go, what their true authorities are, then they wouldn't be able to get away with any of this stuff. But they dumbed us down. Keep the slaves dumb and stupid. Keep them illiterate. And that's what we are, in a sense. We're illiterate in the way things work. Hey, anything else, anybody? Anybody got something to share or anything? Any reports on anything going on somewhere that might want to share with others? They may want to do the same thing. Again,
can
you know.
Hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
This is John in Alaska.
How you doing?
I jotted a few notes down here if I can read my own writing.
I get that way too.
The present federal government is not lawful. It is a corporation that is presently operating in bankruptcy, I think, isn't it?
Well, they are lawless. Okay, I agree with you there. They are committing subversion by changing us into corporatism by incorporating. I'll agree with you there. That doesn't make what they've done lawful. And, you know, we have to do is we have to call them on it and put them in jail for it. And that's why if we get into the courts, we'll start putting these people in jail. We'll give them the olive branch in the beginning. Fix the problem, get online, and let's do the right thing, and let's move on. Because after all, we don't want to fill our jails up with all you people, because if we put everyone in jail that's breaking the law, you know, Washington, D.C. would be a ghost town. Albany, New York would be a ghost town. The capital of your state would be a ghost town. There'd be no one there. There'd be no one running the government. Everybody'd be in jail. So we have to put the olive branch out there, and we have to give them the opportunity. But then we have to make examples, and we have to hit hard and really hit hard when the time comes and put the fear of the people into them.
Well, we ought not to hesitate to put them in jail. If they don't mind putting us in jail, you know, for a profit, private operation, where the prison is making money and so forth, oh, well, they may as well get a taste of it themselves, too, you know, especially
well,
the
absolutely.
Leaders. Of
absolutely. We have a judge up this way that was retiring, and he was boasting on how he has given out over 1 million years in sentencing. I think we should put him in jail for 1 million years. Maybe there's a way we can keep him alive for that so he can understand the suffering that people go through. You know, we have people 70s and even older in jail, and that they haven't even committed a crime, like Joe Robinson out there in Montana hasn't even committed a crime. He dug a hole on his property. Come on, give me a break. And they put him in jail. They put him in solitary confinement. They refused to give him to allow him out on his own recognizance as he's appealing because he at one point in time was involved a little bit with some liberty movements. Well, that's our unalienable right to be involved in the political process and involved with liberty movements to bring liberty more to the forefront in our government than what it is. And then they isolate him and they don't allow him to get his medications. You know, I hope, you know, they know about us. And we've said
they know that.
They
know they're doing wrong when they do that. And I think they use that as a measure to see just how far they can push it.
Well, they're going to find out how far they can push it because that's our really our poster case right there is the Robinson case, and also what they did with Lavoie Finnegan. You know, I hope they don't think they got away with that murder. You know, we know they're listening into our conversations. I don't know how much they feed back to the judges. Maybe they're not feed much back because for fear that they'll start to do the right thing because they'll be afraid that we're coming out after them. But maybe some of these judges or or someone in the court is listening in here or there. I hope they are, because we're coming for you. If you're not doing the right thing, we're going to put you in jail, and we're going to find the people who killed Lavoy Finnegan. We're going to find you, and we're going to put you in jail for the rest of your life. And we're going to find these people that have been putting all these other people, all these judges that have been putting these people in jail and into solitary confinement, locking them down to a cement floor, not in a cold cell, not giving them a blanket or a pillow, and they can't even reach the toilet. And who the hell are these people? Who do they think they are? We want them to know what that feels like. Not that we want revenge or anything. We wouldn't do that to them. But I want them to sit in a cell for a while. And if you put me in a cell, you put me in a cell for 3 months, I want restitution. My restitution requires 10 days for every day you put me in a cell. That's my rest. That's what I require. I don't care about money. These people should not be doing these things. And that's the only thing that's going to stop them, is to take their liberty, to take their freedom, and if necessary, take their life. If they've murdered someone through a court of justice, then the jury will make that decision. And if they decide to take their life, then that's it. These people need to pay. You know, you put people in jail over and over and over again, and they're dying because they're not getting the necessary medical needs that they need. And so that's murder. I don't care what they want to call it. That's murder. It's not manslaughter. That's murder. They need to go to jail for that. We the people have had it. I hope they're listening in and let it look at by mid-January. I think they're going to know we're here for sure. I don't know if they're listening in right now. I hope they are. We're coming for them.
Well, they found how far they can push things by the election of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. And let's hope he is the guy we need. We're going to find out soon. And, we're giving him an education. And if he doesn't do the right thing, we're going to go out after him. And because that's it. He's got to do the right thing. He can fix a lot of things, but he can't maintain the fix. Look at all of that he's undoing with what Barack Obama has done in the past 8 years, all that damage and stuff, and some of it can never be really repaired. But look at some of this stuff. He's going to turn it right over and take a different direction. And that's what they're going to do with him when he gets out of his 4 years, if God lets this world go that much longer. You know, he gets out, and then they're going to turn the thing around. The people, this government needs to be given back to the people. Government by consent of we the people. And the only way we can take control of the consent is by controlling the committee man process, that's the political process, and the judicial process through the juries. That's the only way. We control those two control points, those two things, then we control the entire government. Because they'll go to jail if they break the law.
I have been wondering, when you send, and this is not to criticize in any way, because there's a lot of work behind what you've done, but when you send all these things out to all the various people throughout the country, it's very costly, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm probably just going to say what it appears to me, you have had almost or possibly no response. Is that true or not?
From the court systems, the judges and the courts?
Right. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, we've had no direct verbal response. We've had some good responses sometimes. I mean, we've got cases we beat by being thrown out of court. That's a win for us. And we can't, we'll never catch, in their system, we'll never really get a win where it's recorded and it becomes, you know, something that you can use and refer to in another court case. That's not going to happen because they've learned to prevent that from happening. When they know that they can't beat you, they'll get rid of you a different way.
Isn't the basic problem, though, even from their perspective, and that may be their logic for not responding, is that we are operating a different jurisdiction, common law. They are Admiralty Maritime. Is that not correct?
Well, I call them jurisdictions unknown. They are used in maritime, Admiralty law stuff. They use it in REM and different things of that nature. That's correct. However, they have rules, but they're not even following their own rules there. When it comes to what they want, and they what they want is what they want, and they don't care how they get it. They'll break their own rules, their own law, and they'll cover it up, and they just don't care. So, you know, its jurisdiction's unknown.
From what I've heard and read, I think there are many in this system that either they have been convinced somehow, or there's some orders coming down from above that basically tells them common law is no longer. And so,
right. Yeah, they've been taught that in law school. You have no idea. You have no idea how many times the lawyers told me, you think you ought to get common law here? We had the district attorney of New York State here, attorney general, general's office come down, one of the top guys, and while we're coming, sitting at the tables, and they're on this side, and we're over here, but we're only a couple feet away from them, and the guy kind of leans over to us and says, you guys think you're going to get common law in this court? You're crazy. And he goes over back to his table. I mean, this is supposed to be a mature individual. You know, he's in his 60s or so, I'm sure, at least. And, you know, he's supposed to be seasoned. And that's what you do in a court of law. That's how you talk to people, and that's what you put up. They don't even understand what common law is. Understanding of common law is quite different than what it really is also. But they've been taught this.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be more appropriate, and I'm talking about everyone in NLA movement and anyone who wants to turn this stuff around, wouldn't it be more appropriate and to explain to their neighbors very logically, say, first of all, we might start off with a question, and I suppose many of them wouldn't even know the answer to that, but if they don't know the answer, you tell them, as far as I know, is the Constitution the law of the land, or they would probably say, well, I think so, yes. Or has it ever, to your knowledge, been rescinded? No, I don't think so. Okay, well, what does it say? Well, the very first thing it says is the preamble. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, ensure domestic tranquility and all that. And the last line, do ordain, that means make law and establish the Constitution of the United States of America. So that tells them right there very succinctly, very easy to understand and remember that we, the people, are the top dogs to every level of government, and corporations are sanctioned by government in order to have any existence at all, so that places us above anything. And just tell them that and say, now, if you want to live as a slave all your life and have your property taxed out from under you, then you'll not pay any attention to what I'm saying, see. But
right. Well, look, my youngest brother went to law school. He never became a lawyer. I mean, he got through the whole process and everything, and then he went and done something else. But he went to law school, and I've talked with him about numerous things, and he's never heard the things that I'm talking about. And he said, you know, John, when I went to school, they never talked about the Constitution. I don't know nothing about the Constitution. They talk about statutes, and they talk about this, and they talk about that, and they teach lawyers not to use the Constitution. That there's too many problems in using the Constitution, and many of these different things are debatable. It's moot, and it's unsettled. So why don't you use settled stuff like the statutes? You know, you can use a statute to make your point and use this statute or that statute or numerous statutes together to make a constitutional point. You don't need the Constitution. You see, we coming from common law, it's the whole turnaround thing. I don't need any of that damn statutes. All I need is that this little booklet here called the Constitution. That's all I need. I don't need anything else, because that's what I'll run my case on. I'm going to run my case on the facts and that law. It's that simple, and it's not that difficult. And learning about this kind of stuff, you know, what powers and authorities they have, and learning about your unalienable rights to the Bill of Rights, learning those things is exciting and interesting and empowering. it's eye opening. Revelations, you know, because you see things the way they really are. So, but people are shied away from it. They're frightened away.
What they're doing, and you know, I think we've seen enough to not assume that this is just a misunderstanding or an error on their part. No, it is a concerted effort from the top down, I say, and that's not any big revelation. I mean, it's pretty obvious, I think. So we should cut them no slack, and that is not to say that we get violent, but if law is the answer, law is the problem right now.
Give it to the jury, and the jury will. You give it to a jury, an untainted jury. You get yourself an untainted jury, and you deliver them the idea of coming in with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. You throw those things out at them, and really not much more than that. And that jury will deal with that problem and make the right decision. Just leave that jury alone. The people will figure it out. After all, look at, we live out there in the real world. We know what it's like to be screwed over. We know what it's like to get burned. We know what it's like to get injured. We all know that. We understand that. So when we go to court and we see a guy that's been beat up, maybe we can relate to that. And we're going to feel compassionate about that. We're going to be a little bit upset with the guy who's been beating him up. You know? Right. So this is so simple, and people make it so complex, and it really is so simple, you know.
A little idea there I have. I don't know whether other people have this problem or not. And it may be my own problem, but in the past, when I have come to the home page for NLA, I see all the categories above there, and it's not real obvious as to, you know, committees. Well, you'd expect to find committees listed below and so forth. And in many cases, it is obvious for certain things, but when you have to come down to a certain point and then click on that, and usually it's only a one-time click, but maybe not. But I would suggest for those things that are not obvious, to make up an index. And if you can't find it from the obvious, then you go to the index, and the topic that best describes it would be in the index. So then once you reach the index topic that you're looking for, then it should tell you for that, you go to this, click on that, go to this, click on that, and so forth, right down there, right down to it. And it would be much less frustrating to find what you're looking for.
Yeah, I understand that. We've revamped the site a few times, trying to figure things out and making it a little more logical as we can. If a group of people want to get together and try to make it more logical and throw those ideas to us, we'll consider that. But we have tried to put it logically. I know we do have to make an index page. That's a good idea. That's been brought up before. We just haven't found the time to do it. Get an index page, it'd take a couple of days for a person really focused and buckling down to go through everything we have on our site and really creating that index, and finding a way to lay that out and making sure everything is logical and easy to find. We do have a search bar there, and I imagine the search bar should be able to help you find whatever it is you're looking for. That might be helpful. I'm just clicking through something right now. Look, let me try to put committees in here.
All right, yeah.
Committee in the search bar. Let me click that search and see what comes up with that.
Are you saying that little thing with a magnifier at the end of it? Is that what you're looking at there?
Yeah, right above in the top right underneath calendar and log out. Okay, search. Committees of safety, frequently asked questions on committees, sheriff's committee, all members' committees of safety. So you could do a word search to find your stuff. So that might be helpful. But we do try to make it logical. I mean, if you go under committees, for instance, there's a button there that says committees. And on that page there, I would presume we've listed out all the committees, and it's a blank page. I don't know why that's a blank page, But right underneath that is courtroom observers committees, investigative research committees, welcoming committees, sheriff's committee, common law advisory committees. And then there's some categories to that, you know, the subcategories to the welcoming committees, subcategories to the law advisory committees. You know, we do have a lot of stuff here. And and anybody who really, really is serious about really becoming educated, believe me, this is my education on this website. I've been reading and looking and pulling this stuff together for years and created the pull this website, and others have participated and given some help here or there. But basically, you know, I'm pretty much familiar with almost everything on the website. And to find where exactly some of it is, it might take me a little bit to find it, but I know what's on it and what's not on it. But it's my education. And anybody that really wants to get educated in the things that we're doing, click on a button, start with the welcome, and click on the first thing, special welcoming message, read through it, find out what's going on, and come back to the welcome, click on the NLA plan. Then click on the welcoming message. Click about donating, frequently asked questions, help to save America, joining our call, letters to oath takers. Read all that stuff. Then go to the news. Then go to the education and the free courses. And go down those lists. Take your time. Yeah, it's going to take a long time, but any good education will take time. Education is really experience. The key to education is experience. You know, you go to college, you go to school, and you learn this and you learn that, and you come out of school. Well, now the real education begins, doesn't it? Because it's all with experience. Now you got to take that education, get your experience, and the experience is the real stuff. And right here, this is the nuts and bolts. Get the experience.
Hey, I probably ought to let someone else.
Yeah, there's someone else that wanted to talk.
Hello.
Thanks for your time, John.
Hey, how you doing, Crystal? You're welcome.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we're going to try to keep it. It's 15 after 10. I think we've been holding this meeting to an hour, so we're going to get shutting down shortly. Go ahead, Crystal.
Okay, how are you? Okay. I told you I had filed for the bankruptcy and everything. And
right.
One thing I did with this, which I think is very helpful, every one of the attorneys, because we know that all the attorneys, when they put you in collection, they are the debt collectors. And they only have a juris number. So in filing, you know, they said all your debt collectors, everybody, I listed every single one of the attorneys' names and addresses.
Oh, they must have loved that.
And the funny thing, everything was dismissed, and now they're trying to send it back. They don't want to accept it. So basically everything will be thrown out.
Well, that's good news. And if they try to pull you back in, don't play around with them no more. Go right to the federal courts. Go after them for violating your unalienable right of due process
right.
And taking you to jurisdictions unknown. That's the only two things you got to fight. And when the federal court understands you know you're pretty well invested in a lot of this stuff, so you got the experience and quite a bit of knowledge here and there. You just got to get some fill-ins.
Yeah.
And an exercise and execute those fill-ins, those little things you need to learn. And if you've been listening over the months, I keep saying a lot of them over and over and over again. You know, look at, they have to have fiduciary authority. They got a proof of claim. It could be done in an affidavit form or the form 56 or the 4490 in the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it's always the same thing. If you know, someone hearing it for the first time, they're like, whoa, hold down. You're trying to write all this stuff down. I know.
I wrote it all down. I was telling everybody to listening to it.
But as you go through it, all of a sudden, that's how I learned. I had an advisor I've used for a long time. I haven't called him in a while, but I, you know, because he's taught me so much, and I've got it all down pretty well clicked in, I think. Anyway, but I'll use him if I need him. But the thing is that when he was advising me, giving these things, I was taking these notes and stuff, I couldn't keep up with what he was talking about, but I got most of what he was giving me, and I usually record most of my conversations, so I was able to go back. And then I dug into each one of those pieces, and I had so many pearls. Every time I talked with the guy, there was so many pearls in there. And then once you get, you understand, and you understand something, and you've reviewed through it, and you read through it, and you understand it, guess what? You're never going to forget it. You
right,
don't have to
exactly.
memorize it. You don't have to do it. Just understand what it is you're doing and research it and dig through it and just go over it. And once you got it, you got it.
Right.
It'll roll off your tongue and out of your mind when you need it.
And another good thing, too, is just like, again, Stu, thank you for all the calls and the lesson plans and everything you've been teaching us. And I said, when I filed the paperwork, everybody goes, well, you don't do that. I says, well, why not? They're the ones who are coming after me.
That's
so when
right.
I did every single one of your names in the bankruptcy, in the registers, it was just like...
I went after my bank when the IRS came out after me, and then they wanted to try to hit my bank account. One of the first things I attacked them on was the Safe Harbor Act, okay? And the bank understands that. And the Safe Harbor Act, you know, is supposed to be...
Wait, it's called the Safe Harbor Act?
Safe Harbor Act, okay? And once you dig into the banks and you find out they have a person that the federal government requires, that every bank has at least one person in there that's just... investigating all of the accounts, looking for something that just is out a little bit. Someone takes out too much money too often. You know, they investigate this in-house and they write these reports and they send it into the federal government. So they have the banks spying on us, okay? And that's a no-no. That's a no-no, okay? And there's a lot of things, you know, you can't do, don't you be touching my money. Okay, I put my money entrusted into that bank. Don't you be touching that and think you can give it over to some sheriff or somebody that doesn't have a warrant that's signed with no wet ink or anything, no seal, no judge's signature on it, nothing. Don't you be doing that because I'm going to get you. You see, the banks, what they do is they turn everything over to the government almost immediately. They notify you and give you 72 hours or something like that. And if you don't respond back to them in 72 hours, then they give everything over. If you respond before that 72 hours and you go kick their butt on this and say, you know, you're going to take them to task on everything they do, the damages, they will not give your money up. They will not give information out. They'll freeze up on you.
The Safe Harbor Act. Okay, my pension and my husband's pension with the bank, they will not give it to me, but I found out they got it under a stock exchange. You know, due to all the merging, a lot of people got money left in the banks because
Why
of the merging.
Why won't they give it to you? Did someone lien it?
They said, oh, no, you're not entitled to it, and I got the paper after he had passed and everything.
Well, to go and, after them for the Safe Harbor Act, take them into federal court. You'll get it.
Okay.
And look at if the federal government comes out, they have to put the record into the federal court system, even though they may be coming out through the sheriff locally and do these liens and everything. All this stuff's got to be registered in the federal court with affidavits. They have special forms for this. There's two of them, the fiduciary authority and the proof of claim. I repeat them over and over and over again.
Yeah, the same
thing. Yeah? Fiduciary authority and a proof of claim. And it has to be recorded in the federal courts, otherwise they don't have a lien. So anybody who they've taken a lien out, okay, they give you a notice of lien, and they've gone to the sheriff, and the sheriff has gone to your bank or taken your property or any of those things, okay, all you got to do is just go back to the individuals who served that on to you, get their names, go down to the federal court, find out that they did not file the two papers that were required in order for them to file it into the clerk's office for the sheriff to act upon. Right. With the federal government, they must use those two forms, 56 and 4490. And so when you go and you see that it's not there, then you go to the federal court and you open up a case for fraud. I want someone to go to jail here. I have been robbed. And I'm telling you right now, I have been robbed. And let me show you. And you have the form 4490 and the 56, and you're waving it when you talk to the judge. I have not seen these papers. They have not been filed down in the courthouse. And these two people, under the color of law, said to the clerk, county clerk, that they have been filed by filing a notice of lien, and the sheriff has responded on it, and then the banks have responded, and the mortgage company or whatever has responded on it, and all these things responded on it. I want these people in jail.
I want
my money back.
Like
and
the last mortgage company.
Four times the amount.
But the funny thing is that the attorney that put the mortgage company on there, and I said, can I have the copy of the sworn notarized affidavits when I took a loan out? And I Oh my God, that's when they were going crazy. They threw me out. They said, and then on the last line, it's my name, volume, page, and all that. Which I did that work, so I understand that.
Lawyers won't do that. They don't even know how to do it. But if they do know about it, they won't do that, because if they try to do that, the judge will call them into his little back room and give them a little spanking here and tell them, hey, stop it, and he will stop it. The people
when I got the document.
You wanted to see Mr. GE in the courtroom?
Right. Yeah. They do that, but also
that befuddles them. They don't know what to do. Okay,
but you know what?
these are real simple things. We just have to think about it. Look, there's got to be a process of requirement, and we're telling you what that process is, what the requirements are, and they never do it. And once you know they never do it, go to a federal court and show them they don't know what to do with it. And that judge sitting up there is not going to risk his career, put himself at risk for these clowns coming in up from the state level or whatever. He may do it on the federal level because of the different kind of pressure there, but the state level coming up, he's going to pull them on the side and going to say, you guys better fix this and get them out of my court now.
Well,
that's what he's going to do.
It was so funny because when I went, and the last judge I had at the federal court, she was very, very nice, very right on point. And all those attorneys that were coming in lying, that's the one that was, oh, my God, his face was as red as the beet because she was staring at the shred. And I explained to her what was going on because I told you the death. And she goes, I'm very sorry to hear. And she goes, I've been seeing a lot of fraudulent stuff coming in. And it was just like there was one particular act, but I said, I don't recall. But he goes, well, I want to see it. And she goes, I just went over it, you know. And she got really a little perturbed with that attorney, you know, because he thought he had the upper hand, and she went and got it, and she read it to him, you know. And he was just like, he was beside himself, like, shut up and sit down. Well, just so happened today, his is one of the papers. He's not even accepting the paper that they sent to the dismissal. It came back. So all the people that were going after me, now all of a sudden, their address unknown, but it is the address, but they're not accepting anything.
Well, anybody going through the courts for problems with where they're trying to do tax foreclosures, if you really want to shake them up, you can look in the newspaper and get a list of all the names of all of the people. You get their addresses and everything, of all the tax foreclosures. These people are so lazy. They'll do them maybe once or twice a year, and they'll bring them all collectively and hit them all at one shot. And they'll bring them into one, under one, case
one
number.
One sheriff.
Okay?
Yeah. I mean, under
they'll bring
one
case
judge.
Number. So when you do that, you notify everyone. You go into federal court, you notify everyone, because what you win, they can win too. Okay? They need to understand this. And that really shakes them up. They're so dumb. They do such stupid things. It's laziness. Okay? Each case should have its own number. But what they're doing is illegal. And look at, nobody bucks them. Nobody. Why? Because people don't know what to do. They don't know how to fight this. And they go get a lawyer, and the lawyer will never win it. They'll never win it. They'll take your money. They'll take your case. You know, they should be honest with you, but whoever met an honest lawyer.
They keep on telling me to get an attorney.
Yeah, of course. They want.
Wait a second. But I've been going to the court from this here. I've been going to the court for the past 2 years representing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep on throwing me out.
Yeah, they want you to get a lawyer so that they don't get – so they're going to win. Look at any lawyer. Everyone listen to me. Anybody that has a tax foreclosure, if you're going to go to a lawyer to fight it, the lawyer can tell you the truth is that you're going to lose. He's going to take your money, and he's not going to tell you that he's going to lose. He already knows he's going to lose. He knows you. He's robbing you. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Okay,
even one of these attorneys told me, he goes, well, why don't you – he goes, you're going to lose your property. You know you're going to – yeah, and now, because I had a case, and I said, you know what I just did with my case? I said, throw it. I'm not signing nothing.
Now, it's like going to traffic court. Everybody loses. Court always wins. Whoever wins in traffic court, I mean, you can win, but it's an uphill battle, and it's a whole new thing, and it's not the right. You definitely can't do it with a lawyer. But look, you're going to pay. One way or the other, you're going to pay.
I went in traffic court.
Even if they make a deal, you know, you go up and say, look, okay, we won't put any points on your license. Pay $200 and get out of here. You see, you just lost. You lost. Yeah. They want you to continue driving so they can pull you over again and get another $200 out of you.
Right.
They really don't want to take your license.
Mm-hmm. Those are the good points, and it's just like, wow. You know, the treason, the perpetrating of a fraud. Like I said, I would like a sworn notarized affidavit. And then when I bought the volume and page, I'm like, why am I here? Why am I here?
And especially if you go into a court, here's another one that people need to realize. You go into court, you're not going to go into court without an affidavit. If you do, then, you know, you have no case. But what makes a case prima facie is a sworn affidavit. That's what makes it work. That's all that's necessary for a prima facie case is a sworn affidavit. You can chicken scratch it with pencil on scrap paper or on the back of toilet paper and hand it in. And swear in front of get a notary to swear in front of, and it's an affidavit. It counts. And when you start to see that the court's not going your way, excuse me, wait, I got a sworn affidavit in here. That affidavit has not been rebutted, okay? And a sworn affidavit rules the court. How is it that this court keeps moving this way towards these people and they do nothing? All you do is keep moving it for them.
And
you know
what I did? This is what I did. I got it when I went to the town. I got the sworn notarized affidavits of my property. And I'm like, so how in the world did they put their name on it? They perpetrated the fraud, falsified it, and my name is the final name, volume, page, and deed.
Right. Where did they get the fiduciary authority to do that? That's the question. That's
the
proper
fiduciary.
Question. The
okay.
fiduciary authority to do that. You see, they have to have that. And that requires a court decision. That requires a trustee. I mean, that's involved. I mean, but these people, they have all these robotized things and processes. They send it through and they move it here and they move it there. Next thing you know, it rolls out with their name on it, like you say. And that's a crime.
We're
like 10:30 now, so I want to kind of close down.
All right. John?
Yes.
Question. Spell fiduciary for me right quick.
Oh, goodness. You're asking the wrong person. Fudiciary, maybe? Maybe someone else out there is a good speller. Am I right on that? If you put it, I'll tell you, Google is, if you want to know how to spell a word and you can't find it in a dictionary because you're spelling so bad, put it into Google and put it in a sentence. It'll get it for you every time.
Okay.
You put fiduciary, but I'll tell you what, if you want to just put form 4490,
I got that.
And form 56, one just each individually. And you will immediately get, the federal form will immediately jump up, and on one of the top it says fiduciary on it, so you'll get the spelling.
Okay. Great.
All right, anybody want to make a final simple comment before we close down? We're a half hour over the game here, so.
Okay, I'll be getting in touch with you, and I'll be sending you something, John.
Okay, Crystal, thanks.
Okay.
You've been talking with Gerard, I think, though, right?
Huh?
Have you been talking with Gerard?
Well, you know, I've been going through a lot of stuff. I don't think so.
Right.
You know, because I have to go for some tests and things, and I lost some family members. So.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to now get back into it. I mean, I listened to the call afterwards, or whatever the case is.
All right. Anybody else out there got anything before we close down? Maybe I can respond to something quick, or you want to share something quick? Going once?
Thanks for standing in. Thanks for starting on time. I appreciate your time, good night.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Don't forget Monday, and we'll be here Monday. We were here last Monday right after Christmas, New Year's, the day after.
Last Monday and this Monday were great. Thank you.
Oh, okay, thanks. I don't know if we got the call up there. I don't think I put it. Jen, did you get the call up online?
Yes, I did put it up.
I told everybody to listen to that. You had so much wonderful information. Thank you again.
Okay. All right, well, God bless everyone. We'll see you on Monday, and let's keep busy and get things going locally. All, you know, we're going to save this nation by grassroots, doing right in your hometown, right there in your county. That's where the game is, in your town. Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Jack.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, yes.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.